febbraio 2008 il Palazzo delle Papesse di Siena ha inaugurato ZA, Giovane Arte dal Sudafrica. Una mostra a cura di Marlène Dumas, Kendall Gears, Lorenzo Fusi, Bernie Searle, Minette Vari e Sue Williamson. Incontrare Colleen Halborough è stata una rivelazione. Un'esperienza immersiva, così come il lavoro che porta in mostra, Night Journey, un'installazione che esplora il viaggio più o meno conscio nel quale ci imbarchiamo quando la notte ci porta il sonno e dà libero corso ai nostri sogni e alle nostre inquietudini. Dal suo personalissimo e appassionato ritratto abbiamo capito quanta violenza e allo stesso tempo quanta speranza ci sia in Sudafrica e che non esiste una risposta univoca all'eterna ambivalenza fra rimanere e andarsene.
Night Journey is a video installation that is exploring kind of our journeys that we take at night, both conscious and unconscious when we're dreaming. And it's very much about that space we go into when we sleep, climb into bed, and your bed is usually a safe place, and it's a place that you go for comfort and for rest. But sometimes those nights can be not so restful and can be a bit disruptive depending on what's racing through your mind or where you are emotionally. And in South Africa particularly, sometimes it's really scary at night because you feel threatened all the time. You don't know who's going to jump into your property, and you know, if you hear a noise you're quite alert and like lying in bed dead still, like waiting, do I hear footsteps, or was that just a leaf or a branch falling on the roof, or you know, so it's about the spaces that we go into in the dark and what happens in that darkness, both a physical darkness and a kind of more emotional psychological darkness, and exploring that fear and finding the hope, like a search for hope in that. I think sometimes, well, I find for myself, the fears that I had, I didn't want to face them. So I was like a workaholic. So just work till you're so exhausted, you fall down and go to sleep. But then you're not processing anything. And then at night, my dreams were like dreaming all night long and then waking up exhausted and being like, okay, there's something going on that I'm kind of not processing, you know, so like slow down. So that's the other thing with this labor-intensive work. It makes you slow down and it makes you kind of sit with whatever feeling it is that you're running away from, or that you're busying yourself with the busyness of life, not to kind of feel that fear, that what anxiety, whatever it is. And often what I'm finding is that when you actually sit, even though it's like you sit in the chaos, it was really scary to start off with, like really scary. But now it's like, it's just not that scary. It's, you know, so it gets better. I think we all do art for different reasons, you know. But I think the creative process can be very powerful in helping you process a lot of stuff. And for me it is, you know, it's, and I think what's so nice about it is that it becomes a shared experience that somebody can walk in and without even speaking, because sometimes people don't want to speak about that, you know, it's very difficult to speak about their fears or if they're not feeling so great, or, and then you suddenly in the space and they just get it, they kind of feel it, and they feel like they're not so alone, or they're not so mad, or they're not, you know, it isn't so scary. So that I find very exciting when you have that shared experience from being inside the work, yeah.
Thank you.
like you said, there is a poem and there is somebody speaking, and but the voiceover is my sister, and she's saying her prayers. So I've been listening to her because while I'm working, I keep triggering that sensor, and then she's kind of it's repeating and repeating. And I quite like it because at one stage she starts saying the Hail Mary, and she goes, "Dear God," she's praying for loved ones. She says her prayers every day. She's mentally disabled, and she has so many things that she can't do. She doesn't have a job, and she doesn't get out a lot. She's got friends who are also disabled, but they see each other at these various socials and things, but she doesn't have like a daily interaction where we all go to work and we meet people, and so she can't drive, so she's very dependent on her family. But she has this incredible hope, and she says these prayers every day, and for about 5 minutes, and she prays for everyone she knows. I don't know how she remembers, and it's frustrating sometimes because obviously there's a disability involved, so there's certain things she can't do, or there's certain habits that she has that, you know, you want to pull your hair out. But then on the other hand, she is always smiling. And she's so hopeful, and it doesn't matter if you irritated the 1 minute and she's driving you mad and you say, "Lee, please just leave me alone for a moment." Then 2 minutes later, she'll come back and she'll be hi and smiling. And I think it teaches me so much. There's many layers in a two-night journey. One of the things to it is reconciling my relationship with her and the life that I've had, you know, as having a sibling who's mentally disabled. And there's times that have been very difficult. And there's knowing that she's never going to be independent is quite a difficult thing, because my parents are getting older, and then what happens if they're not around? And you know, and in South Africa we don't have many facilities for disabled people, so it's very much the families look after the people. So it's a profound experience. But I think what I try to capture in the video installation is for the viewer to go inside and have this experience, and this very visceral experience. So, I mean, that felt creates it creates quite a response, kind of like quite a gut response from people. And I think that's what being in the wilderness does to me. And I think so much living in cities and in westernized world, we forget about the instincts that we have. There's just so many more levels to us, the kind of sensory experience. You know, we're so like tuned into watching TV and technology, and kind of it's like a magnet, you know, it kind of draws you in and conditions your life. Whereas when you're out in nature or in the wild, you suddenly hear much better, and you suddenly see things more and feel, like really feel on your skin, and you get more in touch with yourself. And I feel very disconnected kind of in the city. I don't know, maybe it's, I'm not sure if it's a common experience. And I think it helps to go and have that experience to see where you are as a person. And so I'd like to create that space in my art to kind of hopefully that the viewer can access that or trigger something. And sometimes it's scary because it's like holding a mirror up in front of your face. And it's quite a scary piece, and it's about nightmares, and it's about violence and bad thoughts and loss and pain. So is all of that. And some people have walked in 2-3 meters and said no and walked out and don't want to engage, and that's okay. But other people have gone in and spent half an hour in there and they don't want to leave, and then they and then I've walked in sometimes, and then there's some people who are crying, and you know, and I don't know them, and they don't know me, but they're inside, and there's something that has triggered that, and if I could share that experience and relate to kind of a common experience that we have, like connect on a non-verbal sense, then that's really cool. This gauze across it is the bandage that I work with. I work with bandage a lot in my work. I start off by doing these little drawings. I sew into the gauze, and it always pulls and kind of comes out of shape. And I specifically do that because I've got this thing where I want everything to be perfect. So I work with this material that I can't get it perfect, and it drives me mad. I really want to scream. But then I say, okay, just sit with this and accept the imperfection of it. So it's a very hard lesson for me, but it's getting easier and easier now to see. And normally I've been working with this for about 7 years now this way, because these are my starting point. Then I make a photographic contact sheet of the image, and then I cut it out, and then I make a stop frame animation. I've normally hidden these because I thought they're like byproducts and I'm not interested in using them, and slowly I've come to really, really like them and really kind of sit with the chaos that's happening here. But I like the bandage. A lot of my work is trying to process the kind of social space that I find myself, as well as my headspace and how I'm feeling about where I am in the world psychologically, emotionally. And so I like the metaphor of the bandage and healing. And I think also a lot of my work, like a stop frame animation, takes so long to make. So you sit with it, and or the felt takes so long to make. It's very labor intensive. But during that time, it allows me to process a lot of stuff, a lot of thoughts, and it's kind of like a meditation, sitting there working very slowly. Sometimes I want to pull my hair out because it takes so damn long, and I think, like, am I mad? Can't I just take a photograph and put it up, you know? But other times, when it like materializes into something like Night Journey, the big installation, it's like what you experiencing in your head, and suddenly it's like in front of you. It's real, this like physical manifestation. So that I find very exciting. So a lot of these drawings and my animations are from dreams or nightmares that I have. Most of my ideas I kind of process during the night while I'm awake. I sometimes go through periods of insomnia, and then I'm lying and in bed, and sometimes I can feel there's something like niggling at the back of my mind, like it wants to be thought out. And during the day it's so busy, you can't just be still, you know. In your mind's eye, you picture things, and the feelings that you have or experiences or thoughts that you're having, you're visualizing them, and then I'll draw, and then from those drawings then I'll do these little gauze drawings. So there was a series of these five works for that exhibition, those five little gauze drawings, and then there were these six photographs of, this was called Beneath the Darkened Sky, and it's taken in the bush just with the moonlight. I quite like that at night. It's a very scary place. It's life-threatening. If you walk through it at night, you can't see because there's no lights. It's just pitch black, and unless there's moonlight. And you don't know what's beyond, what's kind of in the darkness and around there. So I like that metaphor as well, that there's so much wildness in the darkness. So almost like in our unconscious as well, there's so much that influences us and our fears and anxieties and influences our behavior every day. But it's in the dark and we don't kind of know about it. So I like that also the camera shakes because I wasn't using a tripod. So I like those kind of happy accidents that happen in your work that you think it's imperfect, and you think, like when I first see this photo, I think, oh, you know, I'm going to throw it away and I'm not going to use it. But then after a while, I keep thinking about it and thinking about it, and then it resonates and it's saying something that I want to say, you know, that it's part of my message. When you're in a car and you're driving around, you can't hear the bush, and the sound in the bush is so important because the animals make sounds and the birds make sounds, and from their sounds you can hear what's there. So sometimes the grass is so thick that you can't see from here to here what's behind the grass or behind the bush, but you can hear the scratching, and you can hear these animals walking through, and they kind of, the grass is very dry, so it crunches. And in this vehicle, it's amazing because you can hear all of that, and you can smell the dung and all sorts of things. It's a really vivid experience. So in Night Journey, we were driving this vehicle at night, but it's quite scary because you're sitting there and, you know, if you stop, we've been driving along before and you look there and suddenly from here to here is an elephant, this enormous thing that's just snacking some grass on the tree, and I mean some leaves on the tree, and it's gray, it's dark, you haven't seen it, and suddenly it's there. So it's very wild, it's amazing. And so I like that metaphor of driving in this vehicle on the dust road, and it only lights what's just in front of you. So it's kind of like the path that we take through our lives, that we can't see the whole picture, and there's so much going on around us and in our future and in our heads, and that you can only kind of grasp what you directly kind of like in your conscious or where you are presently today. So I like that. And there's also that kind of that like background threat in the dark that's waiting there, you know, if you don't look out, if you're not careful. Since I started doing art, I mean, my first works that I did were like really perfect, and now they're getting more and more organic, and I'm embracing that more and more and letting go more and more. And it's been a very, very scary process for me to kind of just let go. And but it's a process, and I use my art to work through that. So it's a challenge, and sometimes it can be overwhelming, but the more I kind of jump into it and let myself go, the more exciting it actually becomes. Really, it's because then it's kind of facing my fear, facing that fear of imperfection. Where, you know, when it used to have so much control over me that you don't want to let go and you want to be in control all the time. But when you don't have control and you just are, and you just like let yourself fall, then there's so much freedom in that and so much peace. I have these like two, or they're almost, I suppose, opposing or conflicting things, like a passion for the bush and then like an obsession with technology at the same time. I probably, like in my next life, I'll be a game ranger and go and live in the bush. That like really is what I want, it's like one day. But then I say, if I lived in a city, what would be the thing that I'd want to do the most? And it's art, and I love it so much. So kind of my city life is about art, and that's where technology comes in. But when I'm working with technology, there's this longing that I have, and I find I get like kind of, I feel like I'm being sucked into this void of, you know, of gadgets, and it's so seductive and so hypnotic that I kind of like pull myself out, because so much time goes by when you're busy playing on your computer and fiddling around, and there's just, it's endless. I sometimes feel quite removed when I'm working with technology, so that's why I always like to then go back to working with my hands as well. So then when I've had too much working, too much of working with the organic stuff, then it's like, oh, it's frustrating me too much and I can't get it right. Then it's like, great, let's go into technology where I can get straight lines. And so there's this balance between this sort of chaos and then this something that you can control so much or not, because technology is so unpredictable. Then when that's driving me mad and when it's not working or something crashes, then it's like, okay, let's go and play with the felt. So it's a nice like game, jumping from the one to the other. There's something to be said about systems, and that's why I like the bandage as well, because it kind of represents this grid, that there's something like a city, there's a, you know, maps, like I love maps because it kind of gives you this like aerial perspective and you can know exactly where you are and where you're going to, and like some form of like control and direction. And when I arrived here in Siena, I was so disoriented, and being in the northern hemisphere, I always like to know where is the sun and where is north. So then I can kind of, and I suppose in the bush, because there's no street signs, so you look at the sun and or you look at the moon, and when we drive around, there's just dust roads. You don't know where you're going, so you have to know, okay, there's that star, and if I want to get home, that's the direction I go into. So when I came to Siena, then I didn't know which way was north or south. So I said to Lucio, where's north? And I don't know where it is now, but I know that my window in the hotel faces north. So that's good. And then I feel kind of centered. And what's weird as well is that the sun, when I arrived as well, the sun only gets to a certain angle in the sky, whereas in South Africa, because of our position on the latitude lines, it goes right across, so you can kind of tell, you know, whereas when it's hovering here, it's even more disoriented, hovering kind of like 30 degrees above the horizon. It's so weird for me. So, and then of course, all these little streets and not knowing where north and south is, like I keep thinking I must go in the other direction, but it's actually I'm supposed to be going straight. So that's why maps are so fabulous, and there's a system. And it's the same thing with the gauze, that there's this like grid that it kind of, that grid is holding all the felt together, which that felt is so, that wool is so raw and all over the place, and it's kind of embedded in it is the system that's holding that chaos together. And I like that metaphor.